Why don't we go ahead and get started? All right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is a regular meeting of the Programs and Services Committee. It is Wednesday, November 18th. We are being audio and video recorded. Present at the beginning of the meeting, we have from Ward 1, Councilor Maria Greenberg, Ward 2, President Albright. I am the chair of the committee, Josh Princeman, from Ward 4. From Ward 5, we have Bill Humphrey. And from Ward 7, we have Lyle Baker. And from Ward 8, we have Councillor Holly Ryan. And I see my vice chair, the ever-present, the wonderful, the incomparable, Councillor Brenda Noel from Ward 6. If Councillor Pam Wright joins us, I will mention that. I'm not seeing any other councillors at the moment. Nathan, will you let me know if I missed anyone?
I saw Councillor Malachy had just joined. I haven't seen any more. Pam Wright's joining. Councillor Wright's joining right now.
Okay. So in a moment, we'll have a full complement of the committee. That's from Ward 3. That's Councillor Pam Wright. I had objected to the admission of Councillor Baker into the meeting, but it looks like you made it in anyway, so we'll just have to work through that.
You'll okay. Just have to suffer with me, I'm sorry.
welcome. Okay, so hopefully folks have their agenda. We have five appointments, three appointments and two reappointments on the docket first. The first item is item 408-20. This is the appointment of Rabbi Keith Stern to the Human Rights Commission. Rabbi Stern, I do see you here. So I wanted to start by giving you a few minutes to say why you are interested in serving on the Human Rights Commission and anything you think that we should know.
It's dangerous to give a clergy person a free rein like that. You know, I have been a citizen of Newton for almost 24 years, and that, of course, parallels my arrival as a successor to Rabbi Robert Miller, of blessed memory, at Temple Beth Avodah, Newton Center. And through these years, it has been such a great experience to be a part of the Newton community, and to see the kind of things that can get done, the kind of things that people aspire to do for the community and from the community and in the greater Boston community and out into the world. And my congregation has always had a very strong social justice commitment. And over the years, we've done a whole variety of things. And I think that I've reached this stage in my life and in my career. I'm a grandfather. I'm a lucky guy. And over the last few years, I've learned these new terms that I have taken to heart, including things like, you know, the whole notion of white privilege and the whole notion of being in a bubble and the whole idea of being so comfortable as to not realize the discomfort of others that live so close, not only to Newton, but who live within Newton itself. All of which is to say that these things, these issues, these parts of my life have coalesced and my desire to serve in a broader context. I've been pretty, just in my own work, my own practice, I've tended to be a more insular rabbi, more generally connected to the programs and the issues directly coming from my temple. And I don't bludgeon myself for that, but I do realize that as a solo practitioner, that I'm kind of limited in what I can do and when I can do it. But, you know, there's this famous Jewish dictum that basically ends with the phrase that many of you know, if not now, when? Like, what am I going to wait for? At what point do I want to make a difference? And I think it's the timing, you know, of all of this has been really a smack upside the head to even further push me to want to serve my community and its broader aspirations for social justice, and which led me to be really enthusiastically joyful to consider and accept, if so chosen, to be a commissioner, because it's work that has to be done. And the people in that commission that I've had a chance to listen to and watch and read from minutes, they're special people, and I would love to be a part of that group of people pursuing justice for our community.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Rabbi Stern. I see a couple committee hands raised, so we'll take these questions. Councillor Holly Ryan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hi, Rabbi Stern. The Irish Catholic City Councilor is going to speak in favor of this great, great nomination. Rabbi Stern's temple, Temple Beth Avodah, is in my ward, in Ward 8, and many, many of my neighbors are members of the temple, which is on Footing Stone Lane. And I myself have, even before Rabbi Stern was there, have been going to that temple since right after I graduated high school and friends of mine were beginning to be married. And I was there for many bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs. And, but most recently, I have been there probably in the last few years, three times, and that I can remember. It's I've always been welcome and welcomed by Rabbi Stern, and he hasn't given himself enough credit, so I'm going to give him some more credit. This year, a transgender child was transitioned very young. With the support of Rabbi Stern and the temple, and everyone rallied around this, and that could only happen if Rabbi Stern wasn't who he was. They have one of the biggest delegations in the Boston Pride Parade of the religious organizations, which I meet with in the last few years. I'm always there. And it's encouraged. And this year, their main focus is combating racism. And, members of the temple were given copies of the book, How to Be an Anti-Racist. So I myself was a human rights commissioner for a term. I was appointed by Mayor Seti Warren. And I can't think of anybody in recent history better suited to be a member of the Human Rights Commission. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Ryan. President Albright.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I was fortunate enough to be invited by Councillor Kalis to a couple of events at your temple. And they were wonderful. And I thank you very much for being involved in social justice issues the way you and your temple are. I'm wondering if I could make a request of you and the Human Rights Commission, to which I'm sure you will be approved. And that is that we have sometimes the Land Use Committee and the Zoning and Planning Committee are dealing with issues which are not obviously social justice, but in fact, in the background, they are. And I may have heard the voice of the Human Rights Commission, but I'm not sure I have in the past. You know, zoning, it feels like a cut and dry, scientific rules, nuts and bolts kind of an issue, but sometimes it really does have in the background issues of social justice. And I'm hoping that we could involve the Human Rights Commission as we consider, you know, we had a wonderful meeting at the library last night where Richard Rothschild, I think is his name, talked about his book, The Color of Law.
Rothstein.
Yes, thank you. And so as we deal with zoning issues, I would love to have the Human Rights Commission's voice And so that's just a request that I make of you as you join that group. If you could try and involve, engage others to engage with our city council as we work our way through some of these important issues that we're really dealing with. And I thank you very much for being willing to serve.
Thank you, Sarah. I will definitely carry the message.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, at the moment, I do not see any other hands raised. I believe that Rabbi Stern is a resident of Ward 1. Councillor Greenberg, just in case that is of interest to you. Go ahead, yeah.
I'd like to make a motion to approve.
Oh, Councillor Greenberg has moved approval. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay.
Rabbi Stern. I forgot to unmute, but I did vote aye.
I saw you nodding. Rabbi Stern, that gives you approval from the Programs and Services Committee. This will go before the full council at our next meeting. You shouldn't feel obligated to attend that or be there, but you're certainly welcome to watch and attend if you wish online. They're all online now. And with that, we will move on to the next item. Congratulations, Rabbi Stern. I expect it to go through smoothly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item on our agenda is item 409-20. This is the appointment of Susan Locock to the Human Rights Commission. I believe I saw Ms. Locock here earlier. There she is. So again, I would afford you the same opportunity, despite not being a rabbi. I don't think you're a rabbi. You are also welcome to introduce yourself. Tell us why you are interested in serving on the Human Rights Commission and anything you think we ought to know.
Thanks. Hi, my name is Sue, and I am originally from Hong Kong. My family and I moved to the U.S. 7 years ago now, and we've been living in Newton since, and my mother actually lives in Upper Falls, has been there for 30 years. I am myself is of mixed race background. I grew up in Hong Kong. My first language is Cantonese. My husband is Indonesian. He's a Muslim. So we're mixed faith and mixed race family here. And so I got involved with a lot of different organizations in Newton. I was on the board of the Newton Cantonese School. And I got involved with my daughter's school in Countryside Elementary with the ELL committee. So that's how I got started, is through the ELL community within Countryside. And then through that, I got involved with Forge. And it was actually the Asian American resident town hall that the mayor organized in the middle of, at the beginning of the pandemic, when there were anti-Asian sort of attacks in the community. I attended that town hall, and towards the end of the town hall, I forgot whether it was mayor or Dana, somebody mentioned just an open call for more Asian representation within the Human Rights Commission. And I've thought about this before, because I have a friend who from the Cantonese School Board who was on some of the committee. I forgot which committee he was on in the city. And it's something that we've talked about, that there, although Asian Americans is such a huge group of residents in Newton, there's very little representation in the city government in general. So, I mean, it took me a while because, I just feel like, I don't know this community well. I don't know this country very well. I don't know how things work. So with a lot of trepidation, I started attending some meetings, and I decided that, just like Rabbi Stern said, if not me, then who? So I dip a toe in it. I want to be very transparent that I'm still learning. But I do understand that the importance that somebody like me, who's an immigrant, who's Asian American, should have representation in the commission, and that's why I applied. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I am personally very glad that you applied, so thank you. I see Councillor Humphrey, followed by President Albright. Councillor Humphrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Sue, I don't think we've met yet. I'm the Ward 5 councillor, but I saw your application, and, you know, I usually look up to see where people, you know, what neighborhoods people live in, and I saw that you mentioned some of your interests and why you were applying, and I recognized that I had gone to your house when I was door knocking a few times that had the Halloween decorations that were up for most of the year, so it was a very recognizable house to me. But I was going to comment even, you know, before I, saw, you know, heard your presentation. Somebody's unmuted.
Sorry. Okay. Thanks.
Anyway, I was going to comment even before you just gave your presentation based on your notes in your application that, you know, Ward 5, as I've mentioned many times this year on this committee, has a large community of Asian immigrants that live especially in the area where you live, just all along kind of Route 9. And, you know, that's something that has been on my mind, you know, as I was doing the door knocking and so forth, and then serving on the council as the events happened at the beginning of the year that you were referring to. So I am curious, you know, what you're hoping that we can do better on, you know, through the Human Rights Commission, through the City Council, to help serve that community. Because as you said, you know, and as I just noted, there is that big population along that part of Ward 5. And I want to make sure that all those folks are fully represented in the city.
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, there are a lot of barriers for folks like me and other folks sort of similar to me to sort of participate. There's many, you know, just feeling like a foreigner, you know, English, you know, proficiency and comfort with English, their ability to trust the government, right, from their experience from their home country. And there's a lot of things that I think in general that needs to be sort of better education, better outreach, more targeted outreach to engage the community in general. I think that it's a very large community, especially in Ward 5. You know, you go to any playground, you know, half of the people you see seem to be, well, that's my experience. That's just a lot of Asian residents, and they don't really show up. I mean, I think it's an ongoing thing, but you know, it's saying it out loud is the first step, right? And I think that's important. Like having the Asian American resident town hall, which was amazing, was a good step, is an important step. So.
All right. Well, again, it's good to meet you virtually, even if we haven't met in person yet. I'm looking forward to that when we're finally past this phase. And thank you again so much for applying to be on the commission.
Thank you, Councillor Humphrey. I have a feeling I'll be coming back to you in a minute. Let me just very quickly say that I think Councillor Julian Malachy has joined us, not a committee member, but she is a councillor from Ward 3. President Albright.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I first want to say, wow, moving from Hong Kong to Newton, what a difference. I had the opportunity to be in Hong Kong with my family several years ago, and that is a happening place, and Newton is not quite the same. So it must be quite an adjustment for you. Did you live right near the downtown area, or
close enough? It's hard to not be downtown in Hong Kong because everywhere is downtown.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. It's just an amazing place. I loved my time there. But I would make the same request to you that I made to Rabbi Stern, which was that please encourage the Human Rights Commission to be engaged with the council, particularly as it goes through issues that deal with affordable housing or issues that deal with zoning that may not feel like they have anything to do with human rights, but they really do. You know, when you dig not too deep, they really do. So I want to thank you, first of all, for moving from Hong Kong to Newton, and thank you for being willing to serve, and maybe you can bring some of that excitement Hong Kong to Newton. Maybe we can figure out how to get you to do that as well. But if you could engage, you and Rabbi Stern, if you could engage the Human Rights Commission to get more engaged with the council, I would be really appreciative. And I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, President Albright. I see two more. I see we have Councillor Ryan, followed by Councillor Baker. Councillor Ryan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to also welcome you, Sue, and as a former member of the Human Rights Commission, as you have heard, I always felt that what was lacking, we didn't have Asian representation on the Human Rights Commission when I was there, and it was quite noticeable. The ones of us that were on it, and anyone that wants to be on it, of course, feels they can speak to everybody's human rights, so they wouldn't be there. But I always felt with such a large population and of Asian population in the city of Newton that we really needed representation. And I know most of the people on the commission now, and I'm so very happy that you've stepped up to do this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ryan. Let's see if the difficult questions continue here with Councillor Baker.
I hope not. I just want to say I'm so delighted to see that you've applied, and I'm going to enthusiastically support your candidacy. I just want to just send a caution flag. My colleague, Councillor Albright, has argued that our zoning is a human rights issue, and it does have those aspects, but it also has some very important other aspects. So I hope that if you decide to get into that situation, we can have a further conversation, because I think it is a very challenging question and not automatic. So, but that's for another day.
Thank you, Councillor Baker. I am not seeing any other hands raised. Ms. Locock, again, I thank you very much for coming here. Councillor Humphrey, did you want to?
Sure, yeah. Okay. Although, on the zoning note, I mean, again, I think there's a zoning component to the fact that we have a large immigrant community clustered along a highway. I think that's worth acknowledging the relationship there. In any case, I would move approval of the appointment of Susan Locock to the Human Rights Commission.
Thank you. Here in the Zoning and Planning Committee, Councillor Humphrey has moved approval. Sorry, that's just a joke, an obscure joke. Councillor Humphrey has moved approval. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. That is unanimous approval. So again, I would say to you as well, Ms. Locock, I believe Monday, December 7th, if I'm not mistaken, is the next city council meeting. And on that date is when this item would be added to the full city council agenda. And we would anticipate smooth approval of your recommendation, your appointment to the Human Rights Commission. So you can tune in and watch that night if you are curious. Thank you very much for your time this evening. Next item on the agenda is item 433-20, the appointment of Gloria Mastrocola-Gavris to the Park and Recreation Commission. I thought I saw her. There she is. Hi, Ms. Gavris. At this point, I would love to give you the opportunity to talk. Let us know why you have applied to be on a commission like the Parks and Recreation Commission, and anything you think that we should know about your nomination.
Sure. Thank you, and good evening, everyone, city councilors. For those that don't know me, I live in Ward 7. I've been a Newton resident for about 23 years, and I've been nominated to fill the big shoes of Dick Tucker, who has served on the Parks and Rec Commission from Ward 7 for many, many years. I am a retired attorney by profession, and when I retired about 10, 12 years ago, I devoted a substantial amount of my free time to the city in various nonprofits and commissions and boards since then. I was interested in Parks and Rec. Most recently, I served as chair of the Community Design for Arts and Culture Committee, a mayoral appointment committee, and we put together an arts and culture strategic plan for the city that recently got published in the beginning of 2020. COVID has put a little pause on that, but I believe I can be an advocate for more arts and culture programming on city lands now that culture is now part of the Parks and Rec Commission. Secondly, I served as president of the Chestnut Hill Association several years ago when Mayor Fuller resigned from that position when she became a city councilor. And as president of the Chestnut Hills Association for several years, I advocated for and assisted in various neighborhood groups in the preservation of open space and for passive and active recreational use. Was part of the neighborhood association, as well as Councilor Baker, who took a leadership role on the Wobbin Hill Reservoir purchase by the city and the improvements of that parcel for the neighbors, as well as seeking protection and for the Hammond Pond. And I know those are DCR properties, but any kind of open space and that can be preserved in our city is warranted and needed. So I look forward to advocating for Ward 7 issues on the Parks and Rec Commission, as well as in the whole the various recreational uses for the city collectively on the commission as well.
Thank you, Ms. Garris. Appreciate it. I'm now going to turn it over to committee members for questions. I see first is your Ward 7 representative, Councillor Lyle Baker, followed by President Albright.
So it's a little bittersweet because Richard Tucker, as we both know, is a very able commissioner. But I'm just so delighted you've been willing to step up and do this. I mean, there's so many things you've done in the city, Ms. Gabbers, that are, and the last, you're a little modest in your own behalf. That whole plan for cultural enrichment of the city was quite an undertaking. And I hope that when we get past this virus, that there's an opportunity for that vision to be realized. So I'm delighted that that perspective will be available to the Parks and Recreation Commission. So I know your work. I know that your commitment to the open space and passive recreational activities we have, as well as the active ones. And so I'm looking forward to your service. And at an appropriate time, Mr. Chairman, I'd be prepared to move her appointment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Baker. I see President Albright, followed by Councilor Wright. President Albright?
Thank you. Ms. Gavris, I have no particular question, but when I saw that your name was coming forward for the Parks and Rec Commission, I was absolutely thrilled. I know that your involvement in the arts and culture study that was done was intense, and all the other activities that you've been part of have been thoughtful, analytical. You've taken that kind of approach. You've shown leadership, and I have nothing but grateful appreciation to say to you to thank you for being willing to step up. Dick Tucker was great. He and I served together on the way long ago on the off-leash dog group when we were first creating that ordinance, and he was wonderful. But I know that you will fill those shoes and go beyond. So thank you very much for being willing to serve. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam President. Next, I see Councilor Wright, followed by Councilor Noel. Councilor Wright?
Thank you, Chair. I'm delighted that you have the arts and culture background in there, because Parks and Recs just added that to their umbrella, and you'll be bringing that expertise into it. So I'm very happy about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Wright. And Ms. Gavris, I applaud the way you have handled this tough questioning so far. Councilor Noel.
I feel like I should add a tough question. I can't think of one, Ms. Gavris, but okay. I just want to say I'm thrilled to have you in this role. I'm also a huge fan. I don't have anything new to add, but I think you're going to be terrific. And it's really good since, as Councillor Wright said, we've added, the culture piece to the Parks and Rec. It's great to have a voice on the committee. So thank you for agreeing to serve in this role.
Thank you.
There we go. Thank you, Councillor Noel. That was exceptionally different and difficult. But once again, handled well. I wanted to give an opportunity, Commissioner Banks. I noticed that you are on. I didn't know if you wanted to say anything. You certainly don't have to say anything.
Thank you, Chair Krinsman. I'm happy to just let everybody on the Programs and Services Council know that I'm happily here to support Gloria this evening. She attended our meeting on Monday night. I'm very excited that she's expressed interest. I agree with everything that everybody's brought forward here. I think that having the arts and culture perspective will be really great for our commission and for the community as we continue to lean in and grow those programs. Paula and Danielle have been such an asset, having them come together in their division joining our department. So we've really been enjoying that, and I think Gloria will be just a great asset to have join that team. I also really appreciate, Gloria, that you mentioned the open space. I know that's been a topic that's been very, very important for our commission in the 6 or 7 meetings I've been to so far. You know, that's just such an important topic for us, and anything that is being proposed in our parks and our open spaces, I'll really be relying on our commission members to help guide what the community wants and needs are there. So thank you for everything, and I look forward to seeing your nomination move forward.
Thank you, Commissioner Banks. I will just very quickly, I don't have a question, but I will very quickly just say that I have been an advocate for funding for our fields, especially our recreational fields, and getting them fixed, repaired, brought into much better condition. I think they're in rough condition, and I think finances are extremely difficult right now, unfortunately. But I think when the time is right, our fields could really use some attention. A component of that fight, I think, is probably an analysis of the user fees that are used on our fields. And I know Commissioner Banks is doing a great job at looking into that. And I just want to sort of put in a word and say that I hope that as a member of the commission, you will also continue to advocate for those fields and take very seriously the issue of funding for those fields. So with that, I think we are about to find out whether E is for 8 votes on the committee. We'll see. Councillor Baker?
I just want to move the appointment if that's now appropriate.
Terrific. Thank you. It's the perfect time. Appreciate it. We have Councillor Baker has moved approval. Any discussion? Not seeing any. All those in favor of approving Ms. Gavris, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Gavris, I believe, contrary to what you've seen, E is for 8 votes in support out of the committee. As I've said, this will go to the full council for, again, I think that's Monday, December 7th, where I expect that you will do very well. So thank you. Thank you for coming this evening. The next item on our agenda is item 410-20. This is the reappointment of Michael Goldman to the Farm Commission. I believe that Mr. Goldman is here, and I want to give him an opportunity to say anything he would like to at this time. Mr. Goldman, are you here?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Great. Oh, there you are. Sorry.
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
As this is a reappointment, I have been served on the Farm Commission for several years, and it has been really very gratifying to have such close contact with the farm and to just see it really in a kind of spectacular fashion sort of fulfill everything that was set out in the original ordinance. And so for that reason, I am very interested in continuing to serve on the commission. I do have a background in agricultural economics. I have an MBA. have worked in livestock development in West Africa, and I have about 18 years in nonprofit management. And it also has been gratifying that the farm operator, Newton Community Farm, has appreciated sort of my input as someone that knows that has a lot of experience with small nonprofits. And just lastly, I felt at the last Farm Commission meeting, the commission voted to have me succeed Jim Harper as chair of the Farm Commission. So I thought I ought to, should I be approved by the city council, I felt like I should just show my face to this committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Goldman. Appreciate seeing your face. Appreciate the service that you have done so far. Look forward to a further discussion tonight. But again, thank you. The hand I see raised at the moment is Councillor Ryan.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Mr. Goldman, for continuing to serve. The Newton Community Farm is in my ward. And as a lifelong resident, I remember it before it was the city's. It was owned by the Angelos. And, you know, I've always loved it there. So when I became a counselor 11 months ago, immediately I was asked with the other two at-large counselors in Ward 8 to meet with the farm, the board of directors of the farm, the nonprofit that runs it, about some issues they were having with maintenance of the farm, especially their roofing and where the farmer himself lives. His name is slipping my mind right now. And I was just wondering if as, and I'm a new counselor, so I'm going to ask you as, and now the chair of the commission, are you privy to this? Do you know about these things? Are they ever brought to you?
Yes, in detail, because both representatives of the board of the farm and generally the chair of the board and also now their executive director, they are present at every farm commission meeting and actually always deliver a report about farm operations and various issues that might be going on in the farm. So I'm really quite well aware of the issues around the farmhouse. And I think that's really the only kind of infrastructure issue right now with the farm. I know that the farm has gotten a generous bequest that they want to put up a new greenhouse and need to put electric fencing in because the deer have eaten about $5,000 worth of produce this season. But these are fairly simple operational issues, but the farmhouse is a different story. And, you know, we, as I think you're aware, and of course the committee is aware, the operator, Newton Community Farm, you know, had been hoping that there might be some funds coming from the city directly for some capital improvements. Both, I think, the committee and the council have made it clear, and I've also had a phone conversation with the mayor, and it's been made very clear that, particularly in this time, there really are no city funds available, even for capital projects, even considering it's a city asset. So I believe that the farm may well be teeing up a application for a CPA grant in the not too distant future to at least do some really basic infrastructural improvements to the farm, to the house that may include heating, possibly some roofing. The farm took care of that the immediate roofing need on a porch by with its own funds.
Yeah.
And a couple of some moisture remediation efforts.
Yeah, I believe that the porch roof is being fixed as we speak. I went by there today. And the CPA funds is what I was told should be the next course of action to pursue for that. So I'm going to make sure I attend the next commission meeting. And thank you again, Mr. Goldman.
No, thank you. And we would love to have counselors at any meeting that they're available for.
Thank you.
You all set, Councilor Ryan?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for the response, Mr. Coleman. Personally, I find moisture remediation to be a very dry topic. President Albright.
Good. Good one.
Sorry, no good?
No,
come
very
on,
good.
It's tough. Okay. Yeah, Madam President, you're still on mute. I assume that was the criticism of the joke, so let's just skip past. I know where I was in the question.
Okay, I won't repeat what I said then about the joke. I want to thank you for being willing to serve. I remember when the farm was approved by the council through the CPA, and our dearly beloved Councillor Salvucci was sure that the farm would not survive. And it's wonderful to see that not only is it surviving, but it's thriving. But it's thriving because of people like you, our citizens, who really put their foot in and their toes in the water and their whole bodies in the water and make sure that this farm, this community asset survives. So I thank you very much for being willing to serve. And I look forward to, we are in difficult financial times right now, but we look forward to seeing what your request is as it comes through the system. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Let me just say that I don't think much of the success of the farm is probably due to people like me, but I will say that the farm has an absolutely tremendous farm manager, Greg Maslow, Councillor Ryan, and an incredibly hardworking board of directors. And they have really made the farm a success for everybody in Newton.
Thank you, Madam President. And I agree. I think the farm is really a wonderful asset for the community. I am not seeing any other hands at the moment. Councillor Noel, I had a suspicion that you may want to make a motion at this point, believe that Mr. Goldman is the resident of Ward 6.
Well, I appreciate you singling me out. I would love to make a motion to move this forward. I'm a big fan of the farm. I'm curious, I'm not going to open up discussion, but why a former counselor thought it wouldn't succeed, because our community loves farm fresh food. So I'd like to make a motion to move this forward.
Thank you. Councilor Noel has moved approval. I see no discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Excellent. We have unanimous approval for the reappointment of Mr. Goldman. Same words of advice to you, Mr. Goldman. This will move forward to the full council for the December 7th meeting. I will very quickly mention to all of those appointees who are here or still here, we're not going to be offended if you leave. So I understand that while I may be very entertaining, it may not be the way you choose to spend your evening. And if that's the case, we're not going to be offended. Thank you. Let me move on to the next item on the agenda, which I believe is our last appointment/reappointment. This is item 411-20. This is the reappointment of John Schwartz to the Biosafety Committee. And I did see Mr. Schwartz here earlier. Mr. Schwartz, would you like to tell us about your service on the Biosafety Committee and why you'd like to continue?
Thank you. It's my distinct privilege to serve on the Biosafety Committee. I have a background decades in the life sciences, both as an academic, as an entrepreneur. I have acted as safety officer at both my lab at MIT and Harvard, and as well as in the companies that I've founded. So I've sat on both sides of the table. I've been a 29-year resident of Newton, and the opportunity to help usher in new business to our city to help our tax base is a great thing, but it needs to be regulated appropriately. And I've had the pleasure of working with like-minded Newtonites who are busy watching out for the health and safety and welfare of our community while fostering the opportunity of bringing new businesses in the biotech and life sciences. It's my pleasure to participate both with those people and in this important work. So I'd like the opportunity to continue.
Thank you, Mr. Schwartz. Seems like a reasonable request to me, but I don't want to sway the committee here. I see no hands raised. I see no hands at the moment, which means it must have been an incredibly impressive presentation, Mr. Schwartz. Please don't read anything negative into that. But let me just in particular single out President Albright just in case she wanted to make any sort of motion here.
Thank you. I was just making sure that Upland Road was the Upland Road in my ward because I know there are two Upland Roads.
I'm in Ward 2.
I believe it's Ward 2.
Next to Whitney yes. Road.
And I thank you, Mr. Schwartz, for being willing to serve. And I know that, you know, we are very fortunate to have so many experts in Newton in so many areas, but not all of them are willing to serve in this these capacities, and it's terrific that you are willing to do this and continue doing it. So it is with my pleasure that I recommend approval for your reappointment.
Thank you, Madam President. President Albright has moved approval. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Fair enough, that is unanimous approval. Mr. Schwartz, again, December 7th, the full council will entertain the reappointment. Thank you very much.
Have a good evening.
Thank you. You as well. That brings us, I believe, to our final item for the night. This is item 49-20. This is a request for an update on leaf blower ordinance compliance. What it actually is our opportunity to have a sort of final, possibly brief, discussion as a committee. If, to see if we are in good enough shape with a potential revision to this ordinance to solicit some community feedback, probably in the form of a public comment period, sort of like what we did on the Indigenous People Resolution. So if just to sort of remind folks where we were at our the last time we discussed this item, we wanted to get some of the revisions we talked about drafted. You have that draft in your packet. We talked about the potential changes to the ordinance, not the enforcement authority, but the changes to the ordinance that could be adopted sooner rather than later. We talked about a need to go out to the community, get some feedback, potentially from professional landscapers, from homeowners, from residents. And we talked about wanting to have a recommended proposal in order to do that. So some of the, I'm happy to turn it over to Councillor Baker here if you want to summarize it. We have Marie Lawler here from the Law Department as well, who has been integral in helping us to draft this. A couple of the things that have sort of come up have been some responsibility on the part of homeowners for violations that occur on their property, the registration of commercial landscapers, requiring commercial landscapers to acknowledge the requirements of the ordinance in order to be registered with the city, and a nominal registration fee from the commercial landscapers to help run that program. But let me turn it over to Councillor Baker, see what he has, and then I have a potential proposal to include tonight, possibly for the committee's consideration, I should say. Councillor Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Ms. Lawler should be available to clarify a couple of the technical edits that were made in response to the committee last time. But the basic idea was to move as much of the information about the leaf blower ordinance into the leaf blower section and to clarify some of the language so that it was clear what we were intending to do and that it would do the job. So I think it's been accomplished. I would ask Ms. Lawler if she, if the chair is willing, to just add anything that she would like to about the clarifications. But I think that we are in a position, as well as I think we've gotten some interest in the community, to get this to another stage if we can as a committee, hear from the public and those affected by it, and hopefully if there's a agreement, we can move it so that the administration can start the process of putting this registration in place next year. But I would ask Ms. Lawler on the. I don't see her, but I'm. Oh, there you are. I'm sorry.
She's here. She's fired up and ready to go.
Okay, I'm going to yield to her if that's okay, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, if I can figure out how to unmute myself. There I am. there have been a number of changes throughout that the committee has seen before as we have discussed this for the past, seems like a long time, a few months. One thing I did want to bring your attention to, there was a good deal of discussion about the fee for landscaper registration. And at the suggestion of the chair, I put in another possible permutation of the fee for your consideration. If you recall, the last draft we had just put almost really as a placeholder $100 annual fee. I believe Mr. Yeo had spoken with Commissioner Lojack, who had thought that he would be willing to reduce that to $50 for an annual fee, which would help defray his costs in running the program. After speaking with the chair, I have put in a different phrase for you to consider, and that is, and I'm looking at paragraph 7A, it's on page 2, and what we say instead of the fee for such permit shall be, and then plug in your amount, you could choose to say instead the commissioner may set a reasonable fee for such permit and leave it to the commissioner to figure out from time to time what is a reasonable fee. And you do have the authority to do that since Newton a number of years ago accepted a particular section of the general laws that gives authority for a city which accepts that section to use this language to allow an officer or executive or commissioner of the city to set reasonable fees for permits or licenses or whatever they are authorized or directed to issue. So that's another option for the committee to consider.
Thank you, Ms. Lawler. And I'll just, by way of explanation, say that it felt to me like the committee was very deferential to the administration on what the appropriate fee was, what was going to help to administer this. And it seemed to me that rather than setting in the ordinances a particular fee that then would have to come back through us to evolve or change as the program evolved, it might just be easier to allow the administration to set the fee, again, with the standard of reasonableness, which is what Ms. Lawler drafted in there. So there are some other issues, but why don't we at least start with this? I see some hands up. Why don't we get some feedback on where we're at, see what else we need to discuss. Councillor Humphrey, I see you, followed by Councillor Noel. Councillor Humphrey?
Well, I had my hand up from just a general comment on the state of things, not this specific provision. Do you want me to wait until we get into a more general discussion?
Sure, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Okay, I'll come back to you, I promise. Councillor Noel?
Wait, now I'm confused because I put my hand up early as well. It may be more general. I want to talk about the enforcement.
Yeah, so, right. But let's we'll come back to that, I guess.
Councilor Humphrey, why don't you start? Okay. Why don't we hear what you guys want to discuss? We'll open it up, and then I'll just, try to keep track of what issues we have to discuss.
All right.
Folks can discuss any aspect of this ordinance that they wish to discuss.
All right, so here's my take on this, is that I think Ms. Lawler, you might have to mute yourself because I think we're getting some echo again from you.
Sorry.
Yep. So we've obviously done a lot of work on this since June, and I think we're in broad agreement that we're getting close to some important improvements here. But I just have to underscore again, and I think some of my colleagues are about to agree, that until we've come to a decision on the question of who is doing the enforcing and what, if any, changes we want to make there, that we are not ready to take this to public comment. I don't want to mislead people in taking something to public comment that's just for part of this, when the enforcement component and who was doing the enforcing was one of the key points that we agreed in the straw vote in June was going to be something that we were going to revisit. And so far we have not done that. I don't want to go to the public and say this is what we're proposing, but also it's actually not done and there could be some significant changes. I think also, while I'm you know, on the other points, I'm just about there on, you know, saying, okay, this is ready. I'm ready to vote for this. I feel very strongly, and I think there's a number of my colleagues on the city council and even on this committee specifically that feel that even though we have supported the overall effort and supported many of these changes, that we will not vote for changes unless we've dealt with the question of who is doing the enforcement. And I think, you know, I stated that last committee meeting that we took this up, that I wanted us to have done some work on that and address that. That hasn't happened yet, unfortunately. And I also think that since then, we got documentation from Councillor Leary, one of the co-docketors on this, about the number of, or I should say lack thereof, of citations that have been given out by the police or really even response to calls. We've gotten a lot of emails over the past week of residents saying that they have, you know, tried to report various violations and then the police just will openly tell them they're not interested. It's not a real police work thing. They're just not even going to bother showing up. We heard from the chief at the last meeting that somehow giving them this responsibility is impeding their ability to stop domestic violence cases. Now, I'm not going to comment on the legitimacy of that claim, but just to say that I think we're at a point here where whatever we change on this, unless we actually have figured out some change to the enforcement, this is going to be pretty meaningless and people are going to continue to be frustrated that we keep going around and around on this. And I think also, although I don't think we're going to be, you know, creating a unarmed non-police code enforcement team as part of this effort, that's obviously a much bigger question. I think we are at a point where the enforcement, based on the numbers Councillor Leary gave us, is so low that we might as well take this away from the police completely and just say that inspectional services could deal with it. Because if the police isn't enforcing it, then it doesn't matter if we have, you know, bad response times and whatever, or insufficient response from just having ISD handle it, because the police isn't handling it right now. And they've made very clear from both the chief and the rank and file that they're not interested in doing this enforcement. And they don't consider it to be an important police function. So, you know, and we talked last time, so I'm not going to rehash it at the last meeting about the broader discussion around the role of policing. But I will just say that I think we do need to deal with the enforcement component and who's doing the enforcing as part of this reform, or else a bunch of us who support the rest of it are not going to vote in favor of it. So that's my take on that.
Thank you, Councillor Humphrey. Councillor Noel.
I don't think I could have said it better than my colleague, Councillor Humphrey. I have to tell you, in the last week, the emails we've received from Councillor Leary, you know, who told us what the enforcement numbers were, to our constituents saying that the police responded, and of course it's anecdotal, but, you know, call me with a real problem. I don't know how we can move this forward without dealing with enforcement. It's outrageous. It's outrageous that the premise that the police department can pick and choose which laws are going to enforce. And I, for one, don't feel comfortable moving forward with this unless I know that it's not going to be enforced by the police.
Thank you, Councillor Noel. Councillor Greenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with Councillor Humphrey and Councillor Noel. Enforcement is the key to this ordinance. I have a couple of questions. We had an email from a resident who asked if the vacuum machines are part of this ordinance. Would they be included in this?
Marie, did you want to?
If I may, they are not included.
Oh, they're not included.
They are not included. If you read the definition of leaf blower, does not include those big vacuums. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Was that ever considered as part of this ordinance?
I don't believe it was. I don't think they can be are manufactured any less than the noise they make.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, I at least that's what I recall the discussion back years ago.
Okay. And then another question I had was the fining of residents for the homeowner. I had a difficult time finding the language in the ordinance. Could you point out to me, Ms. Lawler, where that would be in the ordinance?
It's in the general section, which begins the section, which is section H, is the leaf blower section of the noise ordinance. And in the initial paragraph, it says, notwithstanding the provisions of sections 2013 F and G, which are other noise restrictions in the noise ordinance, no property owner or property manager or other person in control of a property shall authorize or permit the operation of leaf blowers on property under their control. So that first clause is what brings that in. And then later on where it says any person also brings in, if the homeowner himself is operating a leaf blower, that would, in violation, that homeowner would, of course, and would now be liable because it would be any person operating, actually operating the leaf blower.
Right.
In violation of the restrictions. But this, that first clause brings the property owner, into the fold, into being co-responsible for any, violation by someone that he has, authorized or permitted to use a leaf blower on his property, his or her property.
Okay. I'm just wondering if a resident would, to read this ordinance, if it would be clear to them that they would have some liability in hiring a landscaper that was using the wrong leaf blower. It just wasn't clear to me. I'm not a lawyer, so I have a hard time reading legally. So it's not very clear to me that's how a resident reading this would take that. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Well, if you read no property owner, you know, and then if you, the first bit of it, which is pretty much all in red right now, I think, pretty much gives you the categories of persons who are subject, persons or entities who are subject to this particular section H. Uh-huh. And if you would read no property owner and leave the rest out, no property owner shall authorize or permit the operation of leaf blowers on property under the control unless they do so in compliance with the provisions of this section. So, you know, I'm not sure how you would make that more clear. I mean, I'm happy to think about it. But you're just saying no property owner is, may authorize or permit operation of leaf blowers unless it's in compliance with the ordinance. But I'll be happy to look at that, in the future and see if we can clarify that more or if there's something else we can do. I'm happy to talk about that.
Well, I basically am not in agreement with this at all, have the homeowner liable for this at all. I think it would set up a very bad dynamic. I think we should educate our residents about the law and have them learn about the positive aspects of the leaf blower ordinance to bring them along with it instead of having them become reactive to it and angry about it. I can just imagine a homeowner who has hired a landscaper for years, and then if this ordinance passes as is, receive a notice, first a warning, and then maybe a ticket. I can just imagine the reaction of just not even being aware that they were liable, first of all. And I think it'd be better to, if they did hire a landscaper that used the wrong leaf blower, to hand them a pamphlet of education, here are a list of landscapers that use the correct leaf blowers, this is why we need to use these kind of leaf blowers, instead of making our residents angry about it. I just don't agree with this part of the ordinance. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Baker. President Albright, followed by Councilor Baker. President Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure where I stand on Councilor Greenberg's issue, but I do think that, for example, in the mayor's newsletter that she sends out twice a week or once a week, I forget, we could put that part of the ordinance into English. You know, if you hire a landscaper, this could be translated into English for people who don't read ordinances, and it could be disseminated through other ways, but also through the mayor's newsletter to make it clearer. I think that could happen. I do agree that it needs to be in plain English for people who own homes in Newton. On the fee issue, Ms. Lawler, as I understand the fee, it has to be based on our costs. Am I correct about that?
Yes, it's roughly based on costs. Many things can be put into cost. Salary of the employee who's doing it, number of hours, for example, that is taken. In fact, it can come down to anything that goes into it. The time to take in applications, the costs for printing applications or permits, the prorated costs of electricity in the department, there's lots that goes in. I think these days anything under $100 is pretty much considered a nominal fee and is not going to be questioned. If you did decide to do the 25, which was originally in there, or 50, I think many fees for many of our licenses and permits fall into that category. And yes, if the commissioner has the authority, the commissioner has authority to set a reasonable fee, but built into that idea of reasonable is that the commissioner would have to show that it is reasonable and show that the costs, that basically there is no revenue being made here. These fees are used to defray the cost. And my take is usually the fees, I'm not talking specifically about this one, but fees that are in that range basically are not money makers. They begin to defray the costs but don't even cover them.
Okay. So we're using the term reasonable fee. Is it crazy to add the term to add reasonable fee to help defray the cost? Just to indicate that the fee is based on cost.
Well, you can add that, but it is not needed because that is built into the phrase reasonable and built into the law.
Okay.
Any fee in the city, whether or not it is, any fee that the city charges is subject to that, under a lot of case law, the Emerson College case in particular, to distinguish it from a tax. If it makes money, it is arguably a tax for which we don't have authority unless given that by the legislature. So built into the reasonable fee and built into the statute that we get that authority that Newton accepted that I spoke about earlier, is also in that, embedded in that statute.
Okay, so as long as by reasonable, it's by definition a fee that raises costs.
I'm sorry, President Albright. Mr. Thank you. Okay.
Do we need to mute everybody, Nathan, or are you okay?
You should be good to go now.
You're good.
Okay. On the issue of fees, that's good. On the issue of enforcement, I kind of thought we were going to have one of these meetings to talk about the issue of enforcement, either with the chief or with somebody, I'm not sure. I know that from what I know about ISD, ISD simply does not have the staff to do this kind of enforcement. So it's kind of a fool's errand to think that they could. And I raised the point when the chief was here at our last meeting that the chief of police in Arlington made the case that if the community wants something done, then that by definition means that it's part of community policing. And if Newton believes that it's using community policing as its method of, as its modus operandi, then enforcement of the leaf blower ordinance would be part of community policing. But I think we're kind of in an awkward time period right now. We have a police reform task force operating. We have a search committee that's just been formed to hire a new police chief. So, I'd love to have a conversation at Programs and Services about enforcement, but we're in a period of change right now. So I don't know what that means in terms of getting this ordinance passed before we have a new police chief. But to me, it's really important to understand, to have the new police chief, who I assume will be here in the spring when all of this will hit the road, to have a new police chief agree that this is really something that we want done. So, I don't know whether we can approve this now without understanding whether the police are going to enforce this or not. I guess that's my question to you, Chair, and to you, Councillor Baker. Without enforcement, we all know that this doesn't work, and until the police agree to enforce it, I don't know where we're going. Maybe either you, Chair, or Councillor Baker could discuss that.
So I think Councillor Baker is about to go, but I will say that I think the goal for tonight was not to take a final vote on this. The goal for tonight was to try and get a proposal with, you know, sort of like a straw poll to say, can we go out to the public at least and get a comment on this and then see what kind of feedback we get, come back into committee, talk about, you know, whether more has happened before that time, whether the police task force has reported back, you know, whether we've got a little more information so that we could at that time as a committee actually approve something.
Okay, so more to hear all of the things that we've added to the ordinance. Does it tighten it up? Does it make it work? And then after that happens and we hear from the community, maybe we can also then at that point, maybe it'll be time to hear from the police. Is that the idea?
I think that's right. But, you know, Councillor Baker is next anyway. So if you're okay, we'll go to him and see what he has to say.
Thank you.
Yeah.
First, I think I appreciate my colleague's concern about not having discussed that. But I want to point out just a couple of things that are important. First, I have seen the new acting chief. He said last time that this wasn't his preference, but they would do the job. And I have seen officers out enforcing in my neighborhood. I can just tell you that from observation and effectively. And that's been good to see. Now, there have certainly been situations earlier, and especially with the advent of the virus, where there's great concern about doing anything involving personal contact as opposed to they were doing an enforcement by telephone. But I think that one of the reasons why this ordinance is so important on the enforcement side is to put the process of registration in place. And that makes it a lot easier to do the kind of enforcement you hope will go forward. Because once people are supposed to be registered, if they're registered and they're not doing the job, that's an even more serious situation. And remember, the other change we're proposing here, which has made it difficult for the police to enforce with all their best intentions, is that oftentimes, the ordinance, is currently framed, speaks of the operator, but it really is focused on the crew that's doing the job. And it says that if that's you get a warning, but then we've all talked in the committee before that it's really not the crew that should be getting the ticket. It should be the contractor. And there wasn't a vehicle to do that. So I think that the enforcement opportunities improve immensely if we can get this ordinance in place. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't deal with the homeowner, and I think that Councillor Crinsman has an interesting idea I hope he'll put forward at some point to respond to Councillor Greenberg's idea, or mean concern, which I think is legitimate. But I don't think that we're going to find, even with a new chief of police, that we're going to have somebody better equipped than our police department, and perhaps Mr. Yeo can comment on this, to be the enforcing agent at the time it's necessary. You've got to have somebody who could come out and be there in a timely way. Granted, they can't be there all the time in the way they should. And indeed, in the past, I think that we've seen some difficulty, and I don't minimize that. I've been unhappy myself. But I think that the purpose here is to put us in a better place so that the concerns that residents have expressed to us about the noise and difficulty that they endure can be responded to. I hope that that our concern about where the task force comes out doesn't prevent us from advancing the shape of the ordinance in a way that will help all of the citizens of the city. I don't expect us to vote it tonight. And again, I think Councillor Albright, you're asking for as part of even our discussion, maybe the next time that we have more robust conversation with the chief or the whoever's in charge of how this comes out with the task force. But we're not going to solve that tonight, but I just want to indicate I do think the ordinance is designed, the revisions that are proposed are designed to enhance the ability of the police to enforce and lessen the necessity for the police to enforce, because you're trying to deal with this up front rather than after the fact. So that, I hope, is some helpful clarification. And then maybe the chair can talk about the homeowner issue, and then we'll see where we are.
Sure. And thank you, Councilor Baker. Let me just see. We have a few other hands up. Councilor Ryan, did you want to go first, or do you want me to put forward my proposal that Councilor Baker has referenced?
If you want to go first, you're the chair. It's up to you.
Okay. Well, I'll quickly mention it, and then we'll go back to, you know, free for all. Anyone can comment on anything. To the point Councilor Greenberg raised about a concern about holding homeowners responsible potentially for the violations of, in particular, commercial landscapers using inappropriate equipment, I thought about it. I understand the concern. I also understand the desire of many to require homeowners to have some skin in the game to try and get that education component there so that homeowners are being responsible as well. My proposal is that we essentially draft the language to say that the homeowners are responsible for violations that occur on their property unless they have hired a contractor who is on the city's approved list. And my thinking here would essentially be that the contractors who have appropriately registered signified that they have read and understand the ordinance. At that point, the homeowner has really done as much as we can reasonably expect them to do, especially when hiring a commercial landscaper, to be diligent and ensure compliance with the ordinance. I think we can also include language that says that the homeowner is notified of those violations. And my thinking would be that if a commercial landscaper violates, what we've talked about is a provision that allows the commercial landscaper to be removed from the list, to be prohibited from practicing. And I would think that we would notify homeowners that that is a possible ramification down the road for violations, and that homeowners who hire landscapers who are not on the approved list can be held responsible. So I think it serves to provide the education that we've sort of sought. It enables homeowners to really get a warning, but to further down the road be responsible for that behavior should they wish to hire a landscaper who's not on the approved list. So that was my way to sort of, you know, bridge the gap between those two concerns, but I'll leave it to you all to discuss. Councilor Ryan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm one of those counselors that totally agrees with Councilor Humphrey, if you remember what he said at the beginning, because I don't think it needs to be repeated. We need to do something else with the enforcement and get it away from the police department, especially in this climate where we want the police to be dealing with racism, anti-LGBTQ, and many other things that they should be doing and not enforcing leaf laws. There's a lot of people on this call tonight, residents. A lot of you I know, some of you I don't. I know what noise is. I've lived in a construction zone for the last 15 to 20 years, nonstop, 7 to 7. I know what noise is. And if it was just a leaf blower coming in for 20 minutes, I'd welcome it. But that's not my life living in the section of Newton I do it. So I sympathize with the noise, and noise ordinance do mean a lot to me. But I want to talk about the landscapers that, you know, seem to be over here somewhere, and that I've been here all my life. I went to school with, I was a member of the Y with for years, so I know people from all over the city, north and south, and some of them actually went into the landscaping business. They're like me, they're lifelong residents, and some of them went to college. They went for landscape architecture, greens, you know, some of them went into being greenskeepers and golf courses, farm management, and a lot of them were involved with 4-H. We actually had that in Newton years ago. You know, and these are the landscapers that have their trucks marked, have their addresses and their phone numbers on it. You know, they pay workers' comp, they pay into their employees insurance, and they pay their employment taxes. And they want more clarity too. You know, they talk to me and they want more clarity too. And I'm glad they do because I get to see both sides of it on a regular basis. They don't want to see unmarked trucks, landscape trucks riding around the city. It's not fair. And I don't like it either because they seem to be the ones with more of the violations, even though I know some of the marked trucks are in violation too. But right now we don't require trucks to be lettered and phone numbers and addresses. And this new ordinance will do that. And I want that. I want that 100%. You know, I'm not against the permit. I want that. So basically I agree with most of this. A lot of the, legitimate, if that's what you want to call them, landscapers agree with this, you know, what we're doing. I don't agree with the enforcement. And, I want to see a meeting just on the enforcement. And I'd also see, I know this got really contentious a couple of years ago. I'd like to see something where we bring back the groups involved and the responsible landscapers and see if it seems like we're on more of the same page than not. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ryan. Let me first go to Councillor Wright, who hasn't spoken yet, and then I'll come back to Councillor Humphrey and Greenberg. Okay, Councillor Wright?
Yes, thank you. I'm in favor of, in general, this ordinance, but I, too, don't want to see the police to be the enforcers. That's something we need to work out. I mean, one of the things we talked about before is having the people who give out parking tickets, possibly them being enforcers. I was wondering if the other people in this group, they're, I believe, still part of the, quote, police, but they're not carrying guns and things like that, and they're just out there doing parking enforcement. I was wondering if that would be satisfactory to some of the people on here. I would like to see this in ISD, personally. I would like to see another person to do enforcement, to beef up that whole area of ISD. But if that's not happening, what else can we do to make the enforcement? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Wright. Councillor Humphrey.
So just to circle back to Chair Crinsman, your idea on the compromise, I think that's an interesting compromise in terms of the liability or who's on the hook. I would be curious on that, how that language differs from the way that the homeowners are on the hook in the snow shoveling ordinance, which had been a point of comparison we had discussed previously. I guess you can circle back at that after I finish talking here. To go back, though, to this enforcement point and to respond to what Councillor Baker had said earlier, I agree, actually, that like one of the things that we've attempted to do here, and I think hopefully we've done well in the drafting, is to make this more of a self-enforcing ordinance ahead of time so that there is less need for field interaction. But if that's true, if we've done our job well on that, that also correspondingly means that we should be able to re-examine whether or not the police need to have this responsibility. And if this is something that is going to be more self-enforcing ahead of time, hopefully we don't need the police going out there to do that. And hopefully that is something that ISD would be able to take on more of, or somebody else, as Councillor Wright suggested. Obviously, I know that there's been a long discussion for many years in the council about making sure that ISD gets more staff and resources, but you know, times are tight right now, so we're not going to talk about that. But again, just to underscore here, based on just what we've heard tonight, there's at least 5 votes out of the 8 members of this committee that are not willing to go forward with this unless we've resolved the enforcement point. And that, I think, is going to have a lot of significance to a lot of the other city councilors. And I know that at least of those 5, 2 of us are also on the finance committee, which is going to need to approve the other part that we discussed last time. And I'm guessing there's probably other members on the finance committee who feel similarly based on the discussion we had at the previous meeting. So again, I just want to reemphasize once more that there is at least some agreement, if not on what to do, that we need to do something differently before we move forward with taking this to the public, let alone any sort of votes. I know we're not expecting votes tonight, but like we are going to have to set aside time to actually talk about the enforcement and not just talk around it. Thank you.
So thank you, Councilor Humphrey. And let me just maybe interject real quickly here, and I'll go back to the list of councilors who are wishing to speak. I completely agree that I don't think the police enforcing this is working or is the appropriate body necessarily to house this. I have sort of long felt that. I felt that about the off-leash dog parks, and I feel that about the leaf blower ordinance. Having said that, I guess I'm confused at what is meant by we can't move forward with this, because I think that we have a responsibility to do our work to get the ordinance right, to get the ordinance in place, to make an enforceable ordinance for whatever body will enforce it. Now, I would understand if we don't want to take a final vote, and I would understand if we don't want to pass it in the council until we've got the appropriate enforcing body. But I don't think it's appropriate for us to stop working on it, to not hear from the community, and to not move forward with making revisions to this simply because we haven't yet addressed who the enforcing body will be. And I say that knowing that the police task force is doing their work. And I think it is only fair that we let them do that work so as not to conflict with a recommendation or a work that we do here. So again, I fully sympathize with what folks are saying, but I think that we should do our work to get this right, get it into the position that we want it to be in, to be ready for recommendations that come out of that body. I see Councillor Greenberg, and then Councillor Wright, and then Councillor Baker. Councillor Greenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate your compromise on the residents having the shared liability. I'll have to think about that for a little bit. But I was also going to suggest, just to see the temperament of the committee, to see if we revise it to remove property owner from the ordinance entirely, and just to see how folks on the committee felt about that.
All right, let's, if we could, very, very quickly, I think this issue can be straightforward. So if Councilor Greenberg and Baker, can you just put your blue hands down for a moment?
Sure.
Let's just do a sort of quick straw poll here. Your three options.
Sorry, muted you by accident.
Okay. The three options are going to be no liability for the homeowner, liability for the homeowner no matter what, and the third option would be liability for the homeowner unless they hire a contractor off of the registered list with the city. Okay, folks understand those three options, and I would ask that you only vote for one of them at this time, your preferred of those three. Okay, let's do a little straw poll here by blue hands. Those who prefer no liability for the homeowner. Got one vote. Okay, thank you. Those who prefer absolute liability for the homeowner. No exception. One for that. Okay. And then the last one, liability. Sorry, Councilor Noel, are you on absolute liability for the homeowner?
I think I am.
Okay. You think you are? Do you want to confer with yourself?
I am.
Okay. We got two for that. Okay. The last option then would be the compromise liability for the homeowner unless they've hired off the approved contractor list. Okay, at the moment we have five for the brilliant compromise. I don't remember who brought that up, but we have five for that. So let me just say by, you know, straw poll consensus, the committee is headed in that direction. And Ms. Lawler, you feel comfortable that you could draft something to that effect? Because I know that's not in the draft we have, right?
It's not currently in the draft, but I will work on drafting some language to affect that.
Okay, thank you. So let's move on to the other issues we have now. We had Councillor Baker, I believe, followed by Councillor Ryan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to clarify that I support your compromise. If there is not a commercial landscaper involved, you don't want to leave the homeowner out because they're their operator. I assume that's implicit. But I do want to support the chair's idea that we move over it as far as we can. Right now, the police are the enforcing body. So we are not changing that unless we at some point make an affirmative shift. And part of what I hope we're going to be able to do is to put forward a regime that will enable whoever is going to do the enforcing to do it effectively. But right now, the police are what we've got. I don't know if Mr. Yeo might want to offer any comments at this point, because he was, I think the administration is favorably disposed towards this idea, but also I think had some concerns about trying to give it some enforcement to anyone other than the police. But I don't know if he is still on the call and would like to be heard, or whether the chair would entertain that. I would like to hear from him if possible.
Happy to hear from Mr. Yeo if he wants to chime in. He's also free to plead the fifth here.
No, I'll chime in. I've been saying basically the same thing as I said a couple meetings ago, is that we support this. We think this is a very good step. And I think Councillor Baker really summarized the reasons why to move forward with this now. It does make sense. And I really don't think for years to come we're going to have the ability to have a force of city employees out, you know, dawn to dusk, ready to quickly get to a leaf blower situation in time, and other than the police. And so certainly it's something we'll talk about with the new police chief. I think, you know, for the next several years, I think this would be a really good first step into improving things. We are supportive of this step, and you know, at this point we do not see any other magical answer to having people, city employees, able to quickly get to a leaf blowing situation in all of the corners of this fairly large city quickly. So that's sort of where we are. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Yeo. All right, so let me do this at this time. I think we have discussed this. We have a sense of where we're at, I think. I don't want to go to a public comment period presenting this as a recommendation from the committee if a majority of this committee feels uncomfortable doing that. So my desire is to move forward with this to that stage, not out of committee, but to move forward and hear from the public so that we can continue to refine this. But I'm as democratic as the next guy. So if folks want to show their blue hands and you know, essentially issue a, you know, veto by committee to stop that process from moving forward, what I think we're going to have to do, if folks want to do that, is stop any work on this. I think until we hear back from the police task force, because, I don't think it's appropriate for us to move forward with a new enforcement body until we've heard from them. Let me just see by a quick sort of straw poll show of hands, how many people are interested in stopping all production on this right now. And if that prevails, we'll want to hear from some people. But who wants to stop and not even get public comment?
Josh, can I get some clarification?
Sure, Councilor Ryan.
The question is, we stop everything or go forward, but we stop if we're waiting to hear from the police task force, or, I mean, what's the reasoning?
Well, what I'm hearing, I think the reason to stop is because we have not determined the enforcing body. I think there's plenty of consensus on this committee that the enforcing body is a problem. That if someone's going to not enforce this, we want to choose who's not going to enforce this, right? Sorry, that's just my effort of humor there, but that there's a problem that we may have to, it may be advisable to try and have an entity enforce this that is not the Newton Police Department. It seems that the Newton Police Department isn't interested in enforcing it. It seems that folks are interested in having something else enforce it. It's certainly worth exploring whether it makes sense to have a new body enforcing it. But the question before us is, do we stop everything we're doing and wait to answer that question? Or can we move forward with what we're doing, try to get the ordinance into better shape, and then at some point down the road, perhaps prior to final passage, make a determination about the enforcing body?
When are we expecting the task force to come back, and when are we expecting the new chief to be appointed?
President Albright, do you, Mr. Yeo, do you remember? Yes. I don't remember if there was a date of the police task force.
There is a date. Currently, the recommendations to the mayor are February 1st, and then the mayor will then, decide what and how to move forward with recommendations. So, that is the vehicle. We hope about that time also to have the new police chief on board.
Right. And we haven't met yet, the search committee.
Right.
So are these hands that want to comment on it? Is that what that is? Councilor Noel?
Yes. Yep. So my sense is I don't want anyone to enforce the leaf blower ordinance who carries a gun. So I don't know what the point is to wait for the end of the task force, because no matter where this lands, if the individual carries a gun, I don't think they should be enforcing the leaf blower ordinance. And so in terms of the conversations we've had about what ISD will or won't do, or maybe the role of the traffic metering personnel, I personally feel like we're only limited by our imagination here. I don't think it's helpful to say who will and won't. I think it's time to be really creative on this. But I think we're wasting time, because you're never going to get my vote on the enforcing body carrying a gun.
Let me just ask you, Councilor Noel. Understanding that you don't want the enforcing body to carry a gun, how do you feel about trying to refine the ordinance pending the question of who the enforcing body is?
Sure, but I don't think we need to, I don't think there's going to be a big aha moment with the police task force, because my paradigm is that it shouldn't be enforced by the police. So we can reframe the question, but there's no reason to put it on hold. And I don't think I'm frustrated with hearing, well, this agency's overtaxed and this agency can't do it. Like, we're here to problem solve. And if we've got to find money, we need to find money. But there's nothing off the table at this point. Because, you know, we've had an ordinance for longer than I've been on this council. So we're going over 3 years. And right now we have a mess. So we need to be creative on how we're going to fix this.
I agree with you, which is why I'm interested in moving forward. I think if we say that we're not going to do anything until we've taken this out of the police hands, then essentially what you're saying is keep the status quo, which is an unenforceable ordinance.
No, let's talk right now. I mean, we can talk right now about ISD, you know, the traffic enforcement. And if the COO says we don't have money, that doesn't make any sense, we can't do it, then let's have this council find money. Let's get to yes. So did you just roll your eyes at me, Chairman?
No. I know. I'm thinking about what you said. I'm understanding what you're saying, actually.
I think I thought.
No. Oh, I would happily roll my eyes if that's what I were doing. I did not roll my eyes.
I mean, we need to get to yes. I mean, this is what, like we are smart individuals, and we know it's not working. So nothing's off the table. Let's get to yes. Let's find a solution.
Okay, I think I understand more now what you were saying, which I was not understanding before. President Albright.
That's an eye roll.
Look, President Albright.
Okay, I'm not rolling my eyes for sure. but I kind of wish we had had the conversation about enforcement before I'm not sure what the point of going to the public is until we figure out, at least talk about the enforcement issue. I mean, we have a whole winter in front of us to get through before this thing is going to get implemented anyway. So we have, let's say, until March, maybe April. So what can we please have a conversation about enforcement before we take it to the public? Right.
Thank you, President Albright. Councilor Baker.
Well, I understand our colleagues, my colleagues, and I appreciate it. I just hope that we would move forward and try and get some sense of whether this model will work, regardless of who enforces. I personally am not troubled by the police enforcing, because I think they do a good job when they do show up. The problem is getting them to show up. We don't have any alternatives, and right now this is where we are. The police are our enforcing vehicle. So if you don't like the police enforcing, we're not going to get to a better place, I think, unless we have a better vehicle in hand. So I hope we can continue to work on the ordinance to hear from the public and stand by until we hear from the executive about and the task force about what they propose to do on the police role. But I think we can do our homework and get things ready and improve the situation for whoever is going to end up enforcing. So I respectfully disagree with my colleague, Ms. Councilor Noel, but I hope we can continue our conversation and get some feedback from the landscapers that and the public and see if we can get this in shape. And then the question is, does the ordinance need a change for the enforcing agents? But not everything else. Everything else is important.
Thank you, Councilor Baker. Councilor Humphrey.
So I'm happy to, you know, wait and have another discussion after the task force comes out and maybe after we have a new chief. That's fine with me. And I think that's what Councilor Noel has been saying. I think that's what Councilor Albright has been saying. I think that's what Councilor Ryan has been saying. I don't think that we're saying, oh, we're going to just put a complete halt, you know, forever on this. I think it also, it's not that long until that stuff is coming out. So yeah, maybe we're not going to have that discussion about enforcement in committee in the month of December, but that's fine. There's a lot of holidays coming. And as Councilor Albright said, there's a winter ahead of us here still. So, you know, I'm at some point we'll move forward and at some point we'll go to the public. But in my mind, the content of the regulation is inseparable from the enforcement question. And I think all of the emails that we've received this week completely validate that. I don't think we've gotten a single email that didn't mention the police aspect of this ordinance, whether they were for it or against it. So I don't know why we're going around in circles on this, because it does seem like there's pretty broad agreement from the committee on this particular point, except from a couple of people who want to go, you know, right now to the public with the rest of it, which that's fine, but that's not what the majority of the committee wants based on what people have said tonight.
Thank you, Councilor. Councilor Greenberg.
Thank you. I agree with Councilor Albright. I think we should have another committee meeting to discuss enforcement. And I'm wondering if using the auxiliary police was ever explored, because I don't believe they carry guns, and I'm not sure what their responsibilities are, but I was wondering if that was ever thought of.
Thank you, Councilor. Councilor Wright?
Thank you. I was wondering if, instead of in the ordinance, I think it says the police, removing police and just putting in kind of a place saying a non-gun carrying employee. You know, we still have to decide who's that going to be enforcement, but it wouldn't be the police per se. And I don't know if that would be satisfactory, because I mean, to get some feedback from people, and it's still going to be crafted as we move along, but I was wondering if that would be satisfactory to the others.
Thank you, Councilor Wright. I'm happy to hear from people. My guess is no. I think Councilor Noel, Councilor Humphrey, understandably want us to solve this problem. They don't want us to punt it down the road. I take Councilor Humphrey's point, and I think there are probably a fair amount of folks in the public who would comment one way and possibly comment differently depending on who the enforcing authority is. So I think the move here, I'll hear from people, but I think all of the discussion I have heard tonight, despite the fact that it has been content-based, I think really speaks to our process, because I'm not hearing a lot of disagreement about the content of the ordinance before us. Especially given the brilliant compromise that was put forward earlier and agreed to by a majority of this august committee. So I think we are largely in agreement. What we are not agreement on is whether to go out to the public to get public comment on that and who's going to be enforcing it. So I think we are going to probably have to put this on hold. We are going to have to do some soul searching as a committee, come up with some ideas about enforcement. And when we are able to have a full discussion on that, do so. We'll need to bring the appropriate people to this committee, which is probably Commissioner Lojack, which is probably the police chief, and anyone else we think of that would be appropriate. I would recommend that we continue to work on that over the next few months so that we don't lose another season, so that if and when the police task force comes back in February, we are ready with some recommendations, with some ideas, we can possibly move forward. I suspect that we won't be ready to move forward before the police task force reports back to us, because I do think that's an important component of this, but, you know, I've been wrong before. I see new hands. I see your Councillor Noel and Councillor Ryan. I don't know if Councillor Wright and Baker want to comment again, but I'll come back to you if you do. Councillor Noel?
It's a little off topic, but I couldn't help but notice on the Zoom call is my undergraduate professor, Professor Klugman, who was fundamental in some of my more progressive values, and that was over 30 years ago. So I feel like he's here to sort of see the fruits of his labor in creating this very progressive, maybe even radical city councilor. So Professor Klugman, thank you. And this is what happens when you empower one of your students. So
I'm so naive about this whole system. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
You can, okay.
We can.
I'm the senior member of this because we began as Claflin Hill Neighborhood Association to introduce leaf blowing and going for an ordinance or somehow have the city listen to us. And I'm suggesting that you can't have it all, always. And why not put your emphasis on the neighborhood? Neighborhood working together on this and demonstrating to the committee what needs to happen in a specific neighborhood. I wanted chickens in the backyard, and the city wouldn't allow me. Well, we now have solar energy in the backyard, and that is allowed. So we've grown, and we can grow, even though we're looking as if the impossible isn't possible. The impossible is possible. We're human beings, and we can think about smaller units working together and demonstrating what could happen in a block or two blocks. And I'm attempting to do that in global healing. You can't have the whole world right away, but you can have pieces thereof. And I think we need to think of one neighborhood infecting the next neighborhood. Not infecting, but learning together. I'm 95 at the end of my life cycle, and I love to learn, and I'm learning every day. I didn't know how to get in here to thank you all for what you have accomplished in the years that we have lived here, had a bed and breakfast. We had all kinds of activities on our property that was possible. But it's working with neighbors, and we need to uncover each other and realize that the neighborhood belongs to us. I mean, need to also be responsible for that neighborhood. And I'm willing to help demonstrate it. And I wrote you all a note saying, why don't we give out an award to that neighborhood that accomplishes some of the ordinance, if you will, or some of the demonstration, and have a demonstration project that will work toward what we want for Newton, all of Newton, not just my neighborhood, but all neighborhoods. But thank you for listening.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mr. Klugman.
Professor Emeritus.
Yes. Thank you, Professor Klugman. Now you all know the nut doesn't fall far from the tree.
I do want to assure you that I have several chickens in my backyard now, so we're making improvements here. Thank you, Professor Klugman. I see Councillor Baker, followed by Councillor Ryan.
So, Councillor Baker. Mr. Chairman, I hear our colleagues' concern about enforcement. I think that I would like to continue the process to move us forward so we're ready somehow. And I grant you there's concern about going out to a wider constituency. I would like us to have the ordinance in shape for another conversation and specifically invite the acting chief and invite the commissioner of ISD so we can understand, and Mr. Yo, to specifically talk to this question. I understand that Councillor Noel is a particular point of view. I don't have to share that point of view, but I think it's important that we air those issues for everybody in the committee so that at least we can decide to get something improved and get it ready to go. I don't want to go to another season of spring cleanup where people are calling us we're having the difficulty we've had this fall. So I hope that we can, I would entertain a motion to hold the item, but ask that as opposed to going out for public comment, we specifically have a conversation in two parts. First, to just have the clean ordinance in front of us with all the proposals cleared out, with the exception of the enforcing body, as you discussed. And second, that we bring in the police chief and the ISD commissioner and Mr. Yo to specifically talk about this question, because I think it's obviously pivotal for a number of our colleagues, and I don't want to see us hold the ordinance improvements but unfortunately too long, because we don't have an answer to that question. So,
thank you, Councilor Baker. I think that's right, although I wouldn't limit it to those three individuals. I think committee has got to get creative and, see who else we think might be able to help inform that discussion.
I don't mean to be exclusive. I just think those are minimum, at least those.
I think that's right. I think the two bodies who are currently tasked with enforcing should be part of that discussion, and we should hear from them. But I think we're, like you said, we'll have to get creative. Councillor Ryan?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a suggestion that, I'm on zoning and planning, and we don't just meet every other week. We're trying to get something done, so we're meeting every week and sometimes twice a week, it seems. So we could throw in a couple of extra meetings here instead of waiting 2 weeks and do that enforcement piece that we're trying to get done. I don't want to keep kicking the can down the road. I don't want to keep hearing no, it can only be the police. And so I'm not going to vote to move this forward. Thanks.
Thank you, Councilor Ryan. I think the appropriate motion here would be a motion to hold. And I think I take that understanding that we will have to docket this item. We'll have to docket this item at future committee meetings, and we will have to specifically address the issue of enforcement, and we'll have to do that before going out to the community for comments. I think what I'm hearing is that folks are still interested in getting community feedback, and folks are still interested in moving forward, forgive that term, but not until this committee has addressed enforcement. So with that, can I get a motion to hold?
I moved hold, I thought, already, but I'm ready to.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Councilor Baker. If you did, I apologize for not acknowledging it. Those in favor, polled?
Aye.
Any opposed? Excellent. It's unanimous. We will hold that. So,
just to clarify, when we do take it up, I hope that it's authorized to work with the law department to get a clean draft of whatever we've talked about so far, so that that part of the conversation is modest and you can force, you can focus on enforcement.
I think that's right. I think Ms. Lawler heard. I think there was agreement. I don't want to mischaracterize, but I think the committee was okay with the establishment or allowing ISD to set a reasonable fee in the registration process. If that is not the case, or if I have misinterpreted that, someone let me know. We can reopen the item and discuss that. But okay, then I think we have at least a couple of answers tonight. And we can, if folks have ideas about who should be invited to a discussion on enforcement, you can let me know those offline and we will take this up again in the future. And I think that is our last item for the night.
Can I ask a question before we close?
Please.
When are we going to be taking up docket item 449-20, which is President Albright's item on setting a new date for the two citywide elections, special elections?
I'll give a quick update on that. President Albright had to drop off. She had an important situation to deal with. So I think she apologizes that she is not here, but she and I will be meeting with the clerk tomorrow to hear from him on options, essentially how much time he needs, you know, to move forward, what our options are in terms of the calendar. We will then probably as soon as possible as a committee undertake a discussion on setting a date for a special election so that we can get the full council to approve it as soon as possible. By way of another sort of update on that front, the state had passed laws in terms of mail-in balloting that law was applicable to this year. It was specifically passed for the primary in the presidential election. That law expires on December 31st. And so, as some folks have seen in an email, that we are trying to get the state to authorize the city to conduct the mail-in voting for the municipal election or a special election should we have it come in the spring or February or March. As a breaking news / update to that, Senator Cream was able to get that amendment attached to the Senate draft of the budget. That was adopted today. The state legislature could pass that law, which would alleviate any need for us to pass a special law that would allow us to do the mail-in voting. And they could do that through the budget process. The state legislature is trying to have the budget passed by the end of November and on the governor's desk by the end of November. So I also had a conversation with Representative Kay Kahn. Representative John Lawn was very helpful in getting the language draft, and I expect that they will try to get that language included in the final version of the budget when the Senate and House over the next week and a half confer and finalize their draft of the budget. That's the budget, the annual budget for the fiscal year that started way back on July 1st. Folks probably know that the state was not able to take that up due to COVID and uncertainty about the finances. So I think that's the most convenient vehicle that we can go to get that authorization in place so that we can do the mail-in voting for the special election. But in direct answer to your question, Councilor Ryan, about the timing, we're going to have a conversation tomorrow with the clerk. We'll have some more specifics, probably inform the council either by email, you know, about what the options are, and then have a committee meeting as soon as possible thereafter so that we can put the wheels in motion.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. With that, I think that we can adjourn for the evening. I thank you all very much for your participation, and we will talk again.
Quick question before you go. Was Councillor Albright present for the vote to hold 49-20?
She was not.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Colleagues.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Night. Bye.